And that brings us to just about 34 minutes after 6 o'clock. And this is an opportunity for us to get together, our radio community, and talk a little bit about what's been going on over the last year or so with Raven Radio, your community radio station. My name is Ken Fate. I'm the co-general manager of Raven Radio, and that probably bears explaining straight away just a little bit. I'm here in the studio with the other co-general manager of Raven Radio, Rachel Fate, and the long and short of it is that last June, I submitted my resignation to the board of directors, effective at the end of October, and so I did resign. After I submitted my resignation, Rachel and I, we had been planning what and where life might take us, and realized that one of the things that we wanted to do is work together, and we realized that we could apply to be the general manager of Raven Radio, as the position was going to be coming open. We could apply to do that together, and apply to be co-general managers, which we did, and we went through the hiring process with the board of directors, and lo and behold, about mid-August, we were hired to be co-general managers of Raven Radio, effective the first day of November. So it's been just a little over a month that Rachel and I have been co-general managing. So probably the best thing to do would just be to summarize a little bit about what, how that's going to work, and who's doing what. I've been sticking with technology elements, some engineering elements, personnel, and major fundraising. And Rachel?
I've been concentrating on office management, payroll, accounts payable, receivable systems, things like that.
And we are both working on identifying grants and writing grants. And we'll have a little bit of information about what we've had grant-wise happening to Raven Radio over the last year or so. The meeting is going to be made up of five or six different elements. First of all, Perry Edwards will come in as the president of the Raven Radio Board and announce the winners of the recent board election. And we'll also be talking a little bit about board retreat and some of the goals that we have that we've been able to establish. Then we're going to talk about the budget, big deal for this year, and probably a big deal for next year is the Raven Radio budget. Perry will, I think, help out with that a little bit as well. And then I'll be talking about audience numbers. And then we'll have Robert Woolsey come in to... Amy Kramer-Johnson, Development Director, will come in and we'll talk a little bit about our special events and our fundraising. And then Robert Woolsey will be in to talk about the news department, along with Emily Kwong, reporter, and Brielle Schaefer, our winter fellow. And then we'll wrap up with a programming discussion led by Rebecca Dannon, our program director, formerly Rebecca LaGuire, and I'll be joining her for that as well. So we'll wrap things up probably by 7:30, 7:45 in that range, no later than 8. You will be hearing, as per usual, your Mississippi Delta Lines program tonight with your host, Fred. That'll be at 8 o'clock. And if we end a little bit early, we've got some nice swing for you. And all that's coming up.
Django Reinhardt.
Django Reinhardt is going to lead that off. Well, thank you very much, Rachel. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and escort Board President Perry Edwards in, and we'll get going with the election results.
Thank you, Ken. And I just wanted to say how snappy you look tonight. You dressed for radio.
Well, thank you very much. And you and your leopard skin outfit look pretty good, too.
Thank you.
All right. So next up is a couple of notes from the year that has gone by. And while Perry gets settled, and we're going to go over the election results here in just a minute, I did want to mention that Raven Radio, the Raven Radio family, sustained a loss this year. We lost William Stortz, a longtime Raven Radio supporter, a programmer, jazz programmer, and many other programs over the years that he hosted and helped produce. Raven Radio board member, and eventually the Raven Radio board president. William Stortz was a founder of Coast Alaska, our regional community radio organization, and ended up being on the board of that organization, ended up being the board president of Coast Alaska as well, representing Sitka and the entire Southeast area as far as community radio goes. Two tributes to William adorn the staircase up to Raven Radio. One of William's amazing photographs of a raven in mid-acrobatic maneuver is right there at the landing of the stairs. And he signed and donated that piece to Raven Radio last year. And then many of you may not know that the large cedar Raven Radio sign that is now hanging at the base of the stairs, it was originally mounted on the front lawn of the cable house. That sign was essentially created by William. He put together all the different pieces of people and materials to make that happen, and then had it mounted on the front lawn. And that has since been restored and moved inside. And those are our two material tributes to William. But I think that William is living on in the heart of every Raven. And thanks so much for all the excellent work that William accomplished in the name of Raven Radio in Southeast Alaska. The other elements of this last year, difficult state budget cuts that were manifesting last winter and into last spring were realized. An 18% cut to public broadcasting, that includes public radio, and that includes Raven Radio. And the cut applies to this current fiscal year. And we'll talk in more detail about the fiscal year and the $25,000 cut that was absorbed here or built into our budget this year. And to balance that, what we did is cut back a little bit, as much as we could, on equipment repair and some programming, but really we didn't have that amount of money to cut. Mostly we increased our local revenue goals for membership, underwriting, special events, and retail sales. And we'll talk a little bit more about that and whether or not we could just keep on increasing those goals or not, what that might mean for us. Just a few months back, we received an $8,700 Rasmussen grant to repair and reinforce our broadcast antenna on the top of the Mount Edgecombe Flight Tower, and that's something that is really good to have completed. Thank you so much to the Rasmussen Foundation, and it's also a wonderful opportunity to thank the Mount Edgecombe School for hosting our broadcast equipment over there on the top of that flight tower. And translator communities, I have to say, continue to be a primary struggle for Raven Radio. The infrastructure of those seven remote broadcast installations are subject to weather, freeze, thaw cycles, difficult power situations in a lot of ways, and it just continues to be a struggle. And folks that live in these communities sometimes go without radio for days or even weeks on end as we really struggle with getting engineering services out to some of these communities. And thank goodness that Coast Alaska has solidified engineering support, but even so, scheduling visits to the dozens of communities ultimately in Southeast Alaska is very hard. We understand that, and it's a difficult situation that we're trying to improve on. I'd like to introduce Board President Perry Edwards. You've been the president of the Raven Radio Board for a year, vice president for a couple of years before that, and been on the Raven Radio Board now for a little while. You're here to announce the results of the recent board election. Perry, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure, Ken. The election results by Raven Board, Raven members, myself, Perry Edwards, I was reelected to a three-year term. Dan Edelaine, also reelected to a three-year term, and Ted Laufenberg, reelected to a three-year term. The board also ratified the members also ratified a board appointee of Heather Powell for a two-year term. I'm very excited to have Heather on the board with us. I've worked with her in the past, and it's just a fantastic person.
Excellent. Welcome to Heather as well. And maybe you can run down all the participants of the Raven Radio Board of Directors.
Yeah, that'd be great. I am the president of the board at this time, and Gretchen Clark is the vice president. Mandy Evans is the treasurer and the Coast Alaska representative. Ted Howard is our secretary. Dan Edelaine, who I might mention, is also an original Raven Radio board member and has been for all these years. Kenley Jackson, Ted Loffenberg, Robbie Littlefield, Celia Lubin, and Heather Powell. And I would also like to thank a couple of outgoing board members, Thanny Bean and Robert Haddle, for all their fantastic service to the board.
I echo that. Thanks to both of those gentlemen for good hard work, good minds, and generous spirits from both of those folks. And you mentioned that Mandy Evans, treasurer, and Coast Alaska representative. We have two Coast Alaska representatives from Sitka. One is and must serve on the Raven Radio board. Mandy Evans fulfills that role. And then another is an at-large representative that is typically not on the board. And that representative has been for quite some time, 6 years, I believe now, Susie Albee. And she was, until just recently, the president of the Coast Alaska Board. So strong leadership at the regional level here from Sitka. And thanks so much to Susie for her assistance with community radio throughout the region. Just a reminder that Coast Alaska is a organization that Raven Radio helped to create. About 12, 13, well, maybe even 15 years ago at this point as time goes by. And so we're a member of Coast Alaska, and we reaffirm that membership every year, and we can choose to not be in that group at any time that we want. We can say this year we're going to stop being part of Coast Alaska, but so far it's very much in our interest to be part of this coalition. It's a coalition of independent nonprofit radio stations in Southeast Alaska, and the whole goal is to make service better with decreased costs through interstation cooperation. What we do is we create efficiencies in accounting, in development, the envelopes that we mail out for you to mail your pledge back. Those are all centralized from one place to one place. We all share that employee instead of five employees that mail those out at each community in Southeast Alaska. There's one place that does that. So we all save money that way. Engineering, administration. We also have a regional news director that helps out, Ed Schoenfeld, with stories that impact the entire region. Member stations are in Juneau, Ketchikan, Petersburg, Wrangell, and here in Sitka. And we all support each other when it comes time for efficiency. Coast Alaska is where it's at. So we'll be meeting in Wrangell this year. We meet once a year, and that's coming up in February, I believe, that we're going to be heading to Wrangell. So Coast Alaska also has an executive director, and that executive director is Molly Kabler, and she works right here in the Cable House in Sitka. Most of the Coast Alaska employees are up in Juneau. They've got a lot of space, much more space than we do here at the Cable House. There are some of the employees, especially the engineers, that travel around the region. And so we have Molly Kabler of Coast Alaska right here in Sitka. So, Perry, let's step over to the budget report and give a rundown of how things look. And I mentioned in our preamble here that we are in a year that has experienced state budget cuts, and that's not something that many organizations aren't dealing with, and it's tough times all around. So we certainly understand, and just want to give you a rundown of how we have been dealing with that reality, and how we may be looking at that reality if it happens again this coming year. Our fiscal year, it starts on July 1. And it ends on June 30. So right now, Perry, we're about halfway through our fiscal year. And it was a little confusing last year, January. The whole idea of state budget cuts was being discussed, and an 18% cut, and it went up to an 80% cut, and it all went down to a 23% cut. Ultimately, there was an 18% cut to public broadcasting. That cut began on July 1st. for this fiscal year, which is FY16, fiscal year 16. So in this fiscal year, and if you want to go online to kcaw.org, you'll be able to follow along with these numbers on a outline that we've posted that has some of the numbers and some graphs, and you can just follow along with the entire presentation. It's particularly helpful with the budget report. kcaw.org is where you'll be able to find that and bring up the document on your own computer if you want to follow along. The total revenue from the state went down by $25,000 for us this year. Perry, we didn't have $25,000 simply to cut without without affecting significant programs, NPR, or the Alaska Public Radio Network, or staff, local news, or support for local news like membership and programming, the volunteers. Nowhere to cut that much money. And so the decision that that the board and the staff made, and this decision was reinforced region-wide, was to hold service as harmless as we could, hold programming, hold news, hold local news production as much the same as we could, and increase our local revenue goals for membership, and that's you at home, your membership to Raven Radio. For underwriting, those are the businesses that you hear that have on-air announcements that support the station. For fundraisers, we've added a fundraiser, and so we'll hear a little bit more about that later on. For retail sales, we've increased those goals to make up the difference. And we have to have those that $25,000 of increased revenue in by the end of June. And so we're about halfway through, and I'm pleased to say that so far membership looks good. We've got plenty of work to do. We'll talk a little more about that later. That's how the approach to the budget has unfolded for Raven Radio this year. Last year, the total revenue for Raven Radio, what's called fiscal year 15, was $668,675, just about $669,000. And we ended that year able to put a couple percent into reserves. Our current budget for FY16, total operating revenues, are $666,400. So that's dropped just a little bit. And keep in mind, this is a number on a piece of paper. It doesn't come true. It doesn't become revenue until we actually earn that money. And that's where it doesn't come true until we actually make our fall and spring membership goal, for instance. And that's why those goals are so critical, is that we have an on-paper budget, but it's not real until you make your pledge and pay your pledge. And we're banking on that as we make radio right now. We are spending the money that we will gain as revenue later on this spring even. That's the model of public radio, and it's not necessarily the most comforting, but that's the world that all of public radio lives in, and the world that we've lived in for 30 years of our existence. Here's how the revenue breaks down. Listener membership, your membership dollars are 24% of the budget for Raven Radio. Perry, that's about a quarter of all the money that we spend for the year is earned through listener membership, just like your membership there. Local and regional underwriting, 24%, the exact same. So business support, local business support, is about the same as local member support. Rent, retail, special events, those elements make up about 15% of our budget. So total local and regional funding, 63% of Raven Radio's budget is locally produced. And then the other element there, the other 37% is the state and federal funding. Specifically, the state funding is 16% of Raven Radio's budget. And that's down from 21% of our budget last year because of the state cuts. Federal funding, 21%, and that has stayed the same. So the local funding for Raven Radio has gone up 5% from 58% last year, as the state funding has gone down 5%. And that's no accident. That's the direction that the board and staff decided to take with the state cuts, is that we would maintain service and increase revenues. Now let's look at expenses. With the radio station, we've got 5 full-time employees and several part-time employees, and that personnel expense is 57% of our budget, and very similar to the numbers every year that you see for Raven Radio expenses. Our Coast Alaska support figure, the money that we provide along with the other stations in Southeast Alaska to get those regional services like accounting and membership and engineering, that's 21% of our budget. Programming, NPR, BBC, the Alaska Public Radio Network, is 8% of our budget. The building, the power, the transmitter over there is 3,000 watts, Perry. That's like a 3,000-watt light bulb left on all the time, 24/7. Imagine that on your nightstand. So that and insurance for the building, 7% of our budget. Development costs, special event expenses, mugs, the apparel that we purchase for the retail store, 3%. Technical, equipment repair mostly. We try to keep things as bare-bone as possible, 3% of our budget. And sometimes that's more when we have catastrophic failures. We try to do as much as we can with grants in the technical side of things. And worth noting right here and now, sure wish they did, but most granting agencies do not fund operating costs. They'll fund special projects if you can find it, and we do keep our eye out, but they won't say, well, here's money to just go another year. That's not how granting agencies typically operate. And then the last expense line item here that we've got for you, administration, is 1%. That's office supplies, postage, and et cetera. We keep those low.
Ken, I just wanted to mention, you know, I think the board and the staff here at Raven Radio have done a fantastic job of really keeping it to the things that we really need. And keeping it bare bones, realizing how tight the budget was this year. And we took that leap of faith that the membership would step up and help out to meet that shortfall. And at the same time, we were not going to be extravagant on what we spent money on. And it's really paying dividends, I think, now as we see things are working out that way.
And I'm glad that you mentioned that and underlined that, is that the whole point is to stay frugal but not affect the service that we provide, that local news service, the programming, those thousands of dollars that we spend for NPR and APRN. You don't want to have to cut those because then the discussion goes, well, you start cutting programming, then what's there for the member to tune into to want to become a member to keep providing
right,
money?
Right, you end up with
station.
A downward spiral of right. that, because then there's nothing to listen to. People don't want to be a member. And also, I think that we've done a really good job of paying the folks here at Raven Radio a living wage, which is something that's really important as well in Sitka.
And so thank you very much, Perry, for bringing up the fact that the board has been behind this process and is very involved in this process, the Finance Committee, and then the entire Coast Alaska organization reviews all of the budgets, and we go through that process together. It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. It's our on-air annual meeting. My name's Ken Fate. I'm co-general manager. Perry Edwards, the board president, is in with me. And we've got some interesting audience figures to go over. And we're also going to be talking about the some of our new fundraising events, special events, and some news information. And we're going to have a programming discussion. If you have any questions or comments, you can certainly call in and we'll put you on the air right now and you can ask it and you can do so at any time. 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877 is the number to call. Our online streaming signal serves more than 700 listeners each week, and that compares to about 6,000 listeners to the actual radio signal every week. And here, in where our radio signal reaches in coastal southeast Alaska, Perry, from Yakutat down to Port Alexander and the communities in between, there are roughly 11,000 people, maybe up to 12,000 in the summer. And so about half of those folks will tune in to Raven Radio at some point during the week. And that's a typical radio audio measurement is how many times or how many people in a course of a week listens to your station. So our cumulative audience is 6,000. Our website cumulative audience per week is varying, and it runs between 5,000 and up and over 10,000. So it's frequently at 6,000, or in other words, about the same number of people listen to Raven Radio over the course of the week, unique individual people, as unique individual people will go check out our website and read the news stories or stream or check out a past recorded program. And that's amazing these days that the radio broadcast is really not the majority of how people consume Raven Radio news and programming. And not only that, but of the people that use the website, more than half are using a mobile device. They're not at a computer at a desk. They're using a tablet or their phone. And Raven Radio, over the last year or two, has been making sure to put resource towards making our website mobile-friendly for tablets and for cell phones. And if you haven't tried it, get your phone out now and type in kcaw.org, and you're going to see that the news stories, everything is formatted so you can read it on your phone, you can listen to it on your phone, and you can even bookmark kcaw.org and have the little icon right there on the front of your Android or iPhone device, just as if it were an app, only it's better than an app because it's our actual website formatted to fit your, whatever your device you're viewing it with. So good on us, I think.
Good on you, Ken. I got to give you kudos because you have been at the ground level looking at our web device or our website, looking at those different ways that people do consume news and radio programs. And it's so fantastic. You hear a thing on the radio, a news presentation, you want to hear it, you don't have to wait for it to come around until later. You can go right on the kcaw.org and listen to it in real time and get that immediate gratification. And again, I want to give you mega thanks for starting that and leading Coast Alaska in that charge.
One of the ways that we cooperate is by sharing technology, and one of the roles that I play, thank you, Perry, for that acknowledgement, one of the roles that I play is organizing our region-wide web architecture, and that's something we try to keep up on. And I'll note that, when I hear a story, sometimes I want to read it, and I'll get my phone out, and you can read the entire text of news stories, and I think that's a wonderful service. And your reporters are not only gathering the news and writing the news, but they're transcribing the audio portions that are on tape of their interviews, so that you can read through the entire story. And if you weren't aware of that, check it out, and I think that you'll start using that more and more and more. And that's a service we do provide.
And sometimes those come with photos and other things. So Raven
maps.
Radio ain't just radio anymore.
No, it's much, much more. And it's maps. It's links back to the previous stories of ongoing stories. The way that we've been trying to evolve is with the best possible collection of media in mind. Photo, video, links to former stories, full scripts printed out. Radio has become is becoming an all-inclusive word, and we embrace that. Speaking of all-inclusive, Facebook is another way that we deliver the content, and sometimes the Facebook audience is just massive. We'll get to that actually in a second. The week after the landslides this past August, more than 37,000 people visited our website, KCAW.org was visited by 37,000 people that week. And no server problems. It didn't black out from having way too many people on it. We've designed it so that it can handle a sudden rush. And it behaved perfectly.
That's over a six-fold increase from what the normal numbers are. That's incredible.
Yep, and real quick order, too. As of today, our Facebook page has 8,105 followers, and the chart below that we've got on the online outline shows that 5 years ago, we had 780 Facebook followers, and now we've got 8,105. Last year, 1 year ago, we had 6,500. We've had more than 1,500 followers in this past year. And next year, I don't know, we might be looking at 10,000 followers. And that's a significant audience for the content that is being generated from Sitka and shared around the world.
It's a different audience.
Yep, it's an entirely different audience. And what, again, the board of directors for Raven Radio, once a year, leaves the cable house. We meet monthly. The board meets monthly, the first Wednesday of every month, for the most part, at 6 o'clock. And you're welcome to attend. The next meeting is on Wednesday, the 6th of January, at 6 o'clock. But once a year, the board goes on a retreat offsite and sets some goals for the coming year, and those goals. Have a lot of them have to do with joining with other organizations in Sitka and creating the benefit of the synergy of two organizations working together. And so we've got some special projects. Well, we almost always do. The library show is an ongoing example of that. But we've got some special programs that are being created right now. But the board has always been on the forefront of saying, let's make sure that what we're producing is what people are wanting to consume. And that's local news, local news, local news, and how that's delivered. Facebook, Twitter, those are done. Website, that's done. We don't know what's around the corner. And it may be, there may be some other delivery mechanisms that are out there, but believe you, me, the board, has made sure that staff knows that we're to keep our eye out and to make sure that we don't fall too far behind. So,
you got a very sharp staff that's always looking for those things as well.
Mm-hmm. Perry, thank you so much for your service on the Raven Radio Board of Directors as board chair. And I think that next, when are we going to have the elections of the board officers?
That's going to be, I believe, at the January meeting. We'll be electing board officers in that January 6th meeting that we're having here at the Cable House.
All right. Well, again, thank you for your service. And we're going to go ahead and take a brief break. And Amy Kramer Johnson, our development director, will join me here in just a moment.
Thank you, Ken.
Kramer Johnson, Development Director for Raven Radio. Thank you so much for joining me in the studio.
Hi, Ken. Thanks. You know, thanks for welcoming me.
It's kind of funny that I chose such a mellow music to bring you into the studio, because some of what we're going to talk about, like the Stardust Ball, is the music is not at all like that.
I know. And the topic of money is often not a very mellow topic.
and we have a new special event that is also not a mild and mellow event. It's kind of crazy.
It is a wacky event. Yes, yeah, very much so.
Next year, I'm going to, I'll maybe do a bongo solo or something to just get us all in the development mode.
Wow.
Well, I think the first thing that we really wanted to say is how'd the fall drive go?
Well, the fall drive is one element of the overall membership goal that we have for the fiscal year. And I'm happy to say that we've surpassed our $70,000 goal. So thank you to everyone. I know sometimes it can be a bit confusing because we're on air with a goal of $70,000 and we don't quite reach that goal while we're on the air asking for pledges. We were very close this year when we finished up on Friday, and with our follow-up mailing campaign and announcements and web pledges that came in after the fact, we're over $70,000. So that's just fantastic for the fall.
Yeah, thank you so much. And one detail that I think bears reinforcing is that sustaining members of Raven Radio, your membership is included in the tally that we provide when we have the thermometer on our website and when we give the totals on the air. Your sustaining membership is automatically in that tally. You don't need to worry about that.
Yes, and thank you so much. Those who have a sustaining membership that renews automatically in the July through December months, their memberships are tallied into the fall drive goal. And then in the spring, our spring drive goal will include, or our total will include, anybody who has a sustaining membership that renews January through June. So yeah, be assured that your pledge is fully appreciated and being calculated. So thank you so much.
It wasn't many years back that I think at the end of the year we had like four sustaining memberships. And I remember looking at that thinking, is this ever going to, I mean, will it ever really work or not? Or what is this? And then I started doing it, because it became this, well, did I pledge in the spring or did I pledge in the fall? And that's a question we get so often. And we're like, well, we can find out. We have to get on the hook up to the database and type in and figure it out. But really, it became clear to me, what I just want to do is have it happen automatically.
Right.
And so Rachel and I started being sustaining members. And the other thing I like about it is it just takes, instead of a chunk once per year, it just takes a regular amount out every month. And that's just, we've been doing that now for a few years. And that number has grown of people that do sustaining memberships from four, whatever it was when we first started, to well over 100 now of the members are sustaining members.
Yes. Yep. And that is nice. The convenience of it, the monthly contribution that is easily deducted for or charged to your credit card. Different people have it set up different ways. We are flexible. We can set sustaining memberships up for those who want to still just pay once a year, but don't want to have to remember to do that and be charged that way. So there are different ways of doing that. So it is a very easy and convenient way of making your pledge to the station.
The holiday season is coming up, and I think it's always a great idea for those that are looking at their taxes and wondering about how they can minimize their taxes and think maybe it's a good time to make a contribution to a nonprofit organization, that Raven Radio is well-equipped to handle an additional gift from you. If that's a path you would like to take, you can give Amy a call or give me a call, and we can work something out with you to make sure that you get your contribution in on the proper tax year and get the proper tax credit for it for your IRS forms.
And there is the year-round presence on the web that you can go to kcaw.org at any time of year. This is a good time if you are considering taxes. but you can still go online and do that as well. And just a reminder out to members, anybody who pledged this calendar year, letters do go out after the end of December, so that you will receive a tax letter with your total contributions that you made to the station throughout the course of the year. So,
mm-hmm. And we've got at the beginning of next year, the Pick, Click, Give campaign is available as we all settle into signing up for the permanent fund for next year. Then don't forget that the Pick, Click, Give campaign is available, and Raven Radio will be one of the options for you to select to give a portion or all of your permanent fund to when you go register to receive it.
Some people use that as a membership donation. We like to encourage people to use it maybe as an additional gift to consider if you'd like to, if maybe you are a sustaining member like you can, and you'd like to consider maybe making a little bit of an extra donation or pledge to the station. Pick, Click, Give is a great way to do that. That rolls out in January when you're filing for your permanent fund applications. We did just receive all of the names and the check for everybody who Pick, Click, Give last to the station last year. So thank you to all those people, and thank you letters will be going out, and those will be tallied up and added into our overall membership totals for the year. So thank you.
Yeah, and I'm going to underline something that you just said. I think that's maybe one of the reasons that it is not the primary tool for membership for us, is that when you make your Pick, Click, Give donation in January of last year, we just recently recently got the list of names that made those Pick, Click, Give donations.
Correct.
It it takes a while for that to cycle through the system, and frankly, we want to be able to thank you earlier and more quickly, and so additional gifts. That's a great way to utilize the Pick, Click, Give campaign, but not necessarily for your primary membership gift.
Exactly.
And our Kindness of Ravens group is growing. The Kindness of Ravens are those folks that give at the $50 per month level, and that is the equivalent of $600 per year. And we've been doing some get-to-know-you events where we've had folks over for lunch, and we're going to have a cocktail party coming up. If you're interested at all in the Kindness of Ravens level of giving, please do reach out to Amy or to me. We're going to have a event coming up in February, probably, that we're piecing together now to get everybody together and have a little tasty treats of some kind. So those are on the way, and it's just a wonderful way to solidify your support for the for community voices being shared, for Raven Radio being able to do that.
Right, and thank you so much to everybody who gives at any level, but especially those that are giving at the kindness level. We really appreciate that.
Well, one of the main things you do, Amy, is underwriting, and so it's a great opportunity, I think, for you and for me to thank our current underwriting sponsors and those who have supported the station in the past. But I think it's a job that everybody that cares about Raven Radio can help us.
Right. And underwriting, just to be clear, underwriting is public radio's form of marketing for a business or a nonprofit organization or a governmental agency to get their message on the air. So we have a variety of for-profit businesses that buy regular announcements to maybe promote their current offerings, either services or goods or whatnot. And then we have nonprofits that oftentimes purchase airtime so that their message can get out about a certain event that they might have or program that they're offering or whatnot. So underwriting is something that we offer on a year-round basis. It's one of my primary duties here at the station. And if anybody has any questions, you can call me at any time here at the station, 747-5877. Would be happy to share some more information with you on that. And just kind of look forward to growing this area of Raven Radio's offerings, you know?
You know, we were just talking about 10,000 people a week looking at the website, on occasion 15 or 20,000. And if somebody's interested in having a web tile on the KCAW website, then that's something that you can offer as well.
Yes, we do that as well. And on our community calendar page, banner ads as well. So,
all right.
Yep.
You'll meet Brielle Schaefer, our winter fellow, here in just a few minutes when the news team rolls in here. We will continue to solicit funds to support our winter news fellowship. And that's something that a group of folks dedicated to local news in Sitka have helped fund, and might be talking to you one day, or you can certainly get in touch with Amy or with me if you're hearing me now and thinking, well, I would like to support local news above and beyond what we are normally able to do. So we have five full-time employees, and are the equivalent of five full-time employees. Rachel and I make up one. Amy is another. Our program director, Rebecca, is another. And then we've got two folks in the news department that are full-time employees. Rob Woolsey is the news director, and then Emily Kwong is the reporter. And we have a third now. So instead of two people making local news, we've got a winter fellow. And right now, the winter fellow is Brielle Schaefer. And the capacity to report local news just really goes up with that third person who's able to do some of the feature stories. Some of the stories that we've heard from Brielle recently have just been magnificent. She's a really great reporter. And that's because of folks stepping up to fund the winter fellow program.
Right. And as you mentioned, it is something a little bit above and beyond the normal membership pledge or donation that you make to the station. It's an additional contribution and dedication specifically to this program that we're offering the fellowship.
We have a legacy fund that you may or may not be aware of. A few folks in town have mentioned that Raven Radio is in their will, and something that I think everybody should know is an option. We're ready. We have a secure account ready to receive gifts from your will, trust, or estate, and that the any money in that legacy fund that is left for Raven Radio is not to be used with our annual operating budget. In order to use it, it has to be approved for a use, specifically approved for a use by the board of directors. And so that's something that is not done commonly at all or lightly. And so that's something that all of us can keep in mind with your will, trust, or estate. Get in touch with us if you would like to ask any questions or to inform us. But of course, you don't have to. You don't have to let us know, but we would very much like to know. That certainly helps us with our long-range planning.
And so that we can thank you.
Which we would love to do. Special events have a new event to contend with for the Raven Radio slate, which includes our annual Solstice Cruise, our 4th of July Root Beer Float Party, the Stardust Ball, which was a hoot this year, and we've got a new one, Amy.
Only Fools Run at Midnight. We added this fun family-run event last year. We are working with... It's an event that SAIL, Southeast Alaska Independent Living, sponsored for many years as a fundraiser for that organization throughout the region. And the three public radio stations in Juneau, Sitka, and Ketchikan have taken this event on. It was a lot of fun last year. Coordinated with Dave from SAIL. So thanks, shout out to Dave for all his help and helping with the transition there. And look forward to hosting it again this June. We're still kind of negotiating dates for that, but that's right around solstice time in June. So June of 2016. And as Ken mentioned, we'll also have our annual Solstice Cruise during the month of June. We have our Root Beer Float event, which is after the parade on the 4th of July, and then Stardust Ball. And next year's Stardust Ball, I wish I had the date in front of me, is not on Halloween. So that'll make a lot of people happy.
Do we ever consider having our annual solstice cruise for the winter solstice?
Well, we could do that. I don't know that Alan Marine wants to. Alan Marine every year generously donates that cruise, and I don't know that they have the staff or the boats available to be able to do it this time of year.
Maybe we'll just put that in the bad idea category. The Raven Radio Retail Shop is fully stocked for your holiday gift buying. We've got sizes, we've got colors. It's all ready for you. We've got T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, mugs, bumper stickers, ornaments.
And a brand new sweatshirt should be arriving here within the next week or so. So we'll make sure to announce when that new sweatshirt arrives.
So that's your, it's a describe it a little.
It is the zip hoodie in a new color, and it's going to be very blingy.
Nice.
So it'll be pretty nice. Knock your socks off.
Cool. And the retail shop is open when the Larkspur is open. And so that means it's not open Monday, but it's open Tuesday through Sunday brunch times. But when the Larkspur is open, that's open down there, and you just grab what you need, take it to the Larkspur. You can use your credit card or cash or check and take care of any retail needs right there downstairs.
And one more thing to add about the retail store, the mugs that we have are our thank you gift for the premiums for the spring and fall membership drive. We do have enough left. There are some extras for sale in the retail space now.
Oh, they're going to go fast. Amy, thank you very much. That wraps up our development section of the meeting. Any last words?
Thank you very much, and thank you to everybody who supports the station through financial means and through your efforts of volunteerism as well.
Much appreciated. The news folks are going to be in next. I think Rob is back from the Citizen Task Force meeting, so we'll get the news crew in here, and that'll be followed by a discussion with our program director, Rebecca Dannon. And if you have any questions or comments, 747-5877, we'll put you on the air or not. And if you're outside of Sitka, 1-800-478-5877.
Listening to Raven Radio's 2015 annual meeting. I'm News Director Robert Woolsey. I'm joined by reporter Emily Kwong and our winter fellow Brielle Schaefer.
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening.
And we're going to talk a little bit about what the news department's been doing over the past year. And I'll just launch in with some of the basics. When you're listening to the news in the morning, you're hearing a different kind of morning edition than you have since Raven Radio was founded back in 1982. Last year, NPR changed its clock around a little bit in the morning. And we had already sort of gotten a jump start a year ahead of that. But now everybody is sort of running this new morning edition clock. And I think everybody's adapted pretty well. Morning edition is only 2 hours, but we've extended it into a third hour. Without any repeated content except on holidays, you might hear something between 6 and 7 that will be repeated between 8 and 9. Our other big news is we have a new reporter, Emily Kwong. Rachel Waldholz left KCAW at the end of September to become the new energy reporter with the Alaska Public Radio Network. People talk like Rachel was stolen away from us, but I was on that hiring committee, and I was very interested in seeing Rachel move to a statewide job, and I was very interested in seeing an energy desk created, and I knew we had good people behind Rachel who could come into the job, and lo and behold, Emily Kwong has moved in. Emily was our Winter Fellow in 2014-2015, the position that Brielle Schaefer has now. And last summer, Emily Kwong was our morning edition host. And I should add that the hire for your job, Emily, was probably one of the most competitive in station history, probably more applicants for that position than any position we've had. Why don't you introduce the Raven Radio news team, Emily?
Absolutely. So you're making me blush, Rob. I'm very, very proud to be a part of this news team and to have the opportunity to continue working with the station in an expanded way. And so much a part of our news program, the most precious part of our news, is that morning hour when you're not even quite awake and you're eating your oatmeal and listening to local news, state news, national news. We really couldn't do it without Melissa Marconi-Wenzel. She has returned to the host seat, and she continues to be the gentle, eloquent, intelligent host she's always been for this station. We're so ecstatic to have her. Peter Apathy and Chris Todd will fill in occasionally in this wonderfully consistent and friendly way. And we've added a new host to our lineup, Brooke Schaefer. You might have heard her beautiful voice on the library show and occasionally as a music volunteer, but she is now a part of the batting order for Morning Edition hosts when Melissa takes some time off. So you'll hopefully be hearing more of Brooke. We'll get her in the studio to read the weather and other lunch menu items. And we've had a few great people come into our newsroom as on the reporting side too. Vanessa Walker, she is our summer intern. Greta Mart was the previous one. And just like Greta, just like Rachel Waldholz before her, this legacy of people, they're all coming from the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. The station has a relationship with them where we bring one of their students to come and intern for a period. And Vanessa was an outstanding reporter person. She won a Goldie Award from the Alaska Broadcasters Association for a story she did about Carol Otis, the benefactor of the beautiful theater that's down at the Sika Fine Arts Camp. And if you haven't listened to that piece, Google it right now. You'll probably cry. It's really moving. And Vanessa just did a really great job with that. And we have a new person sitting at her desk now. Brielle Schaefer is our winter fellow. And she was born and raised as a newspaper reporter. That's kind of her training. I'll leave it to her to tell you more. But if you haven't heard her stories already, she is just an outstanding talent. And she's picking up, I think, the transition from print to radio very, very quickly.
Thanks, Emily.
Yeah, we're excited to have her.
Yeah, Brielle, tell us where you're from and a little bit about your experience and how you found the KCAW Fellowship.
Sure thing, Rob. I'm from Eagle River, and I've also reported in Valdez in Kenai. I went to study journalism at Washington State University in Pullman, and then I decided that I really wanted to be a reporter and give it a shot, and a print job was what I first got in Valdez. And after a while, I decided I needed a new challenge. I thought my reporting chops were pretty good in print, but radio is a whole new ballgame for me, and I'm excited to be here learning from so many amazing people like you and Emily.
Yeah, well, thanks. And how did you hear about KCAW? I mean, you were in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. You were several years into a print job, and you just had what, an epiphany? What?
Well, I had transitioned and was working at a community radio station, mostly as a host, doing interviews. And my dad actually saw the opening on the Alaska Press Club Facebook page.
Wow.
And he forwarded me the listing. My dad works on the slope, so he's very well connected in the Alaska scene.
Okay.
And didn't you also hear Ed Ronco's story once when you were a print reporter?
I did. I knew about Raven Radio because it has such a history here in the state, and I heard Ed Ronco's story on the adult spelling bee at the library, and I thought it was so delightful. It really stuck out to me, and I was like, I want to do work like that one day, and here I am.
And you are doing work like that. I mean, just today we heard your Nutcracker story. And I mean, you've done some other fun stuff. We give you a lot of fun stories because you talk about getting your chops in journalism as a print reporter, but in radio, you have to acquire this whole new skill set. And that's kind of and some of the stories that you're doing are great ways to do that.
That's right. Yeah, it has been fun to go and hear some dogs who came in on the airplane from Ketchikan and all sorts of other stories like that. Also, the kids who painted the totem pole, Totem Park, nice. With Tommy Joseph was a highlight so far. So I look forward to doing more stuff like that.
Yeah, these kinds of stories, they don't require a lot of institutional knowledge of Sitka. They're just they're standard reporter jobs. You go out and you find the people who are making the news. You talk to them and you put it all together. And in this case, in the case of radio, you pull together sound and put it on in this kind of really brilliant and entertaining way. It's a lot of fun. Welcome, Brielle. You're going to be here through May.
That's right.
All right.
And thanks, Rob.
More good stories to come. Emily, you mentioned that Vanessa Walker won a Goldie Award, and that Greta Mart also won a Goldie.
That's right, she did.
For her work. I forget, the story was the one about the float plane pilot who had to pull up really quickly to avoid hitting a whale, I think, at Ancoon. I forget the name of the story, but it was a great bit of breaking news. But we've had a lot of other folks who've won won awards for stories. We can just run down them really quickly. It's a little bit of a list, but it goes fast. Alaska Press Club Awards were received in April 2015, and Best Reporting on Science, Rachel Waldholtz and Ellen Chenoweth won first place for their reporting on Origins of the Endangered Species Act. Emily, you got first place at the Alaska Press Club in sports reporting for your story on the Sitka Sound Slayers, a women's movement on wheels. Emily, you also got first place with your profile of STA's Elder of the Year.
Herman Davis.
Yep. STA's Elder of the Year is busy, was that story. And Emily Foreman, your predecessor in the Winter Fellow position, won second place with her profile of the unlikely path of Alaska's new Orthodox bishop. I came in with a third place in best reporting on crime or courts with the story about Robidoux's defense examines schools, party culture, and relationships. And we won second place for best humor, I and John Straley and Finn Straley on our piece, Santa Hack. And we are going to talk about social media in just a moment, but before we do, I wanted to congratulate everybody for their awards. The Alaska Press Club Awards are particularly important to me because we're rated by our peers. They're judged by people from NPR and PRI, people who have really made it in the business, and it's great to see their comments on your piece when they give you a win, place, or show.
Can I also say that the Sentinel won over half a dozen awards at this year's Alaska Press Club.
Yeah.
And both for photography and for print reporting. So we have some really strong journalists overall in this town.
I think we push each other a little bit.
I think we do too.
And the Sentinel. before we get done talking about what makes the news tick, I have to thank and tip my hat to Megan Pasternak and Carol Knuth. And you're going, what?
Yes.
I don't know these. Well, I know these people, but I never hear them in the news. What are you talking about?
Secret agents.
Megan and Carol process all your public service announcements. The flood, the never-ending tide of public service announcements that come into the community calendar. The station would grind to a halt without these women. Thanks so much for your help, Megan and Carol. Now, Emily, just a quick look at our social media update for news.
Ken already touched upon this. We actually have 8,106 members. We acquired followers on our Facebook page. We acquired one more since last he checked. And I think it's important to highlight because when you look at other sources of news in the region, just to as a point of comparison, KTUO, which is Juno station, has 4,000 likes, and the Juno Empire has 7,000 likes. We exceed both. And I think what that says is we're a watering hole for information in not only Sitka, but the entire Southeast area.
We have people who read our stories as far as Canada. We have 149 likes in Canada, 40-ish in Italy, Brazil, and the UK. I have no idea why they follow this page, but all kinds and manners of people have connections to Sitka in Southeast Alaska, followings in Seattle, San Francisco, Portland, LA. So I think some of the stories that we're doing, they have a much broader reach than even we realize. We call ourselves a community radio station, but the thing I've noticed is, especially some of the stories we've done this past fall and summer, you know, with the landslide, certainly people pay attention to what we write, and we always are mindful of that. And there's actually one piece of feedback that we got, a review on our page, that I really love. Erica Youngberg wrote that there's nothing like getting the news from home, from the people from home. Did right. you see that
I
comment?
I didn't see that.
It's really lovely.
Yeah, thank you, Erica. That's nice.
And that's how I think we feel. We're people who live here. We walk down the same streets, and it's kind of a privilege to get to report on it too.
Yeah, on that note, if you know anything that's going on in town that you'd like us to report on or look into, public radio is public. We are your community. We are members of this community. We're interested in making it a great place. We're interested in helping it thrive. We're about community. So if you know anything that you'd like us to check out, let us know.
News at kcaw.org.
Yes, send us an email with your tip. Thanks very much to reporter Emily Kwong and Winter Fellow Brielle Schaefer for all your work. I'm News Director Robert Woolsey. Stay tuned. You're listening to our annual station meeting on the air here. Coming up next, it's going to be Ken Fate and Rebecca Dannon in with a look at programming. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight.
About a quarter till eight, and you're listening to Raven Radio KCAW Sitka. It's our annual meeting live on the air. We used to have this meeting, in various locations. We used to have it at the Unitarian Fellowship. We used to have it in Harrigan Centennial Hall. We've had it in a few different locations, but then we realized, well, heck, If we do it in one of those places, then only so many people can fit. And if we do it on the air, well, shoot, people from Yakutat, Port Alexander, and everywhere in between, everybody can fit. And so I hope you like it. This is the final portion of our annual meeting. And it's traditionally we save the programming for last. And so I'd like to introduce you to our program director, and Rebecca Dannon. And you want to, I guess we should mention that your name is a little different than it was last year, but you're the same person.
Yes, I think I'm the same person.
Well, you change every day a little.
That's right.
We all should grow a little bit.
Right. And I think it's okay, Ken. I think it's late in the evening. I think it's perfectly acceptable for you to say that you saved the best for last with programming. So it's all right.
You got
it's
it.
All right.
You got it.
Yes, I'm Rebecca Dannon. I'm the program director here. I've been here for the last 3 years, and I've got to see a lot of amazing developments in programming at the station here, both nationally and locally, and this last year was really no exception. We had some just fantastic local programming, I think, come up, a lot of great one-time events, special programs that I can get into kind of the highlights of what those were. And we had, you know, just a bunch of new volunteers come in to do regular programming and to do sub-programming, so that's always great. Get new voices on the air. We've had a bunch in just in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that is always an exciting time. I think as a staff person, being around the station, you get to see some new faces. But more interestingly is as a listener, new voices that pop up and play new shows and,
right.
and different music. And it's just been when it's the season for some of those new folks to come in, you sure do know it. And it sounds great. Thanks to everybody that's done the training recently and is becoming a radio programmer. It's sometimes not the easiest thing to do. There's a certain amount of nerves to doing it. And I really respect people that decide they want to go for it. And I, at the same time, invite you at home, if you've ever kind of wondered, Rebecca is the person to call to ask about on-air training.
That's right. And it's I like to think of it as the safest adrenaline rush you can get because, you know, nobody's going to take away your birthday or anything. You're going to make a gift for the community, and that's always a great thing. So
it's like riding a bike, but you can't skin your knee.
That's right. That's right.
Well, what are some of these programs that, that you've helped and seen developed over the last year or so?
Well, it was really fun kind of looking back over our year in programming to talk about this tonight because there's been some really great stuff. I mean, we've had long-form interviews. Rebecca Polson did an interview with Nancy Ricketts early last year. That was just really compelling and great. We've had some really great one-time events, like the Kettleson Poetry Club was a group of students that was led by Brooke Schaefer, and they came in and produced some 90-second modules, which are short programs that we air in the morning, reading original poems that they wrote and created. They had done all of this workshopping to learn about doing poetry, and they'd come in and read, you know, created these programs to celebrate National Poetry Month. And then it culminated in a live event that we recorded and aired where members of the community read their original poetry, and it was just really cool. So a lot of new voices there, some youngsters, which is always really good to have in. We also had, you know, like the live DDF debates. The Drama Debate and Forensics Club from Sitka High School came in and did their annual debate live on the air, which was hosted by Emily Kwong, and they did a really great job. And of course, we've got the Mount Edgecombe Radio Club, who is a group of high school students who come in week after week, and they do a variety show. They do, they program music and they play music, but they do live music. They do little sketches. They talk about, you know, books they've been reading or, you know.
Commentaries.
Yeah, commentaries, all sorts of things that they find interesting. So that's been really fun. And, you know, we've had some, in the genre of new voices on the air, we've had a new Latin-themed show called Boulevard Latino that airs on Saturday. Maite Lorente has been doing that. It's entirely in Spanish, all Latin music, and that's just been really a fun thing to have somebody in doing.
Amazing show this last week with some Spanish and Hebrew music mixed together.
Yeah.
Fantastic texture, wonderful, wonderful show. Thanks, Maite.
Yeah, she always puts a lot of effort into her programming, and that's always really great. And then we've had some really strong community involvement in a little bit more production-heavy stuff. So some of these things that you may recognize have been programs that have been around for a little while, like Sitka Sports and the Library Show, which is currently, it was on hiatus and now is currently back. We've got Sarah Bell and Carrie Sagal and Brooke Schaefer in to host that, which is fabulous.
And I need to interrupt briefly because I just got a comment at the grocery store today about the library show.
Oh, great.
Wondering about if we're going to be able to get all the library shows on line to be able for people to be able to go listen to if they miss them.
Yep, I'm glad you brought that up because I am going to be working on that as well. So if you've missed some of the library shows, episodes that have recently aired, those will be found online shortly. They're not up quite yet, but they'll be up very, very soon.
All right. So that's great. Let me also say that if you have a question right now for Rebecca or for or me, that you can call 747-5877 or 1-800-478-5877, and we'll put you on the air, and you can have a question right here to the program director or the co-GM.
Yeah, and we also, I was really pleased to be able to work kind of in tandem with the Science Center and the Sitka Tribe of Alaska. They wanted to come in and do a program together, which is a short little module called A Matter of Fact, and it airs on Wednesday mornings. And it's mixing Tlingit translations of local animals that we have in this area and then a scientific fact about those. So blending the native culture and language with science, which is fabulous.
And we might even have something on the horizon that we're going to be working with, which I'll let you get to that.
Yes, that was my next thing. So a wonderful gal named Stephanie Gilardi came in and was newly working with STA to as part of the Sitka Fellow Program, and she's going to be here for a year working with them. And she was really interested in getting going some more long-form, culturally relevant programming. Mm-hmm. And so I've been working with them to help them kind of get that started, and where it's, you know, things kind of move when you're doing these higher-produced programs at a slower pace and as people can, because everybody's, you know, very busy in their various jobs and whatnot. So hopefully that will be coming up down the pipeline as well.
Great.
Yeah. And just a lot of great stuff. Of course, the Sitka History Minute has been going strong. And
Thank you, Hal.
Hal Speckman's been at it, making a new batch of history minutes for us, which has really been fun to hear.
Well, that's been a great program for me personally to discover so many new things about our area, and I love the spin that Hal puts on it, and it just brings me back to say something about how we have local shows and we have national shows, and so often I think that our local hosts do an even better job than the national hosts do, and nothing against Fiona Ritchie. Nothing against Garrison Keillor, but Garrison, Hal's better.
I certainly agree with you there. Well, and so it's been really fun to work with these people and help them figure out, get the tools to produce radio. You know, there's different levels of production. There's coming in and doing a live show, which certainly has its own set of challenges and obstacles to kind of overcome. And then there's the pre-produced programming that has its set of challenges as well. So I really appreciate all the people who have been excited and enthusiastic about radio, which has been really wonderful. And then, you know, we just have the news department in here, and they are so great. And I just want to touch on some of the special news programming that we had in the last year, which they didn't really mention, but I will toot the horn for them. Mm-hmm. We had three different town hall meetings that we aired live, which was great. One that was on marijuana, one that was about Sitka Community Hospital and where they were at, and the future. We had one that was also on the future of Sitka and what was kind of working and what wasn't. So we have been striving here to bring a diverse array of programming. And of course, you know, we only have 24 hours in the day, which is my biggest gripe about this job, Ken. So if you could do something about that, that would be great.
Working on it.
But, you know, So we try to get as much diversity in programming as we can. And I always love to hear from, you know, people who have new ideas and fresh ideas. And some of those town hall meetings, we were approached about people who were interested in holding a panel discussion about something. And we took the opportunity to air it. We also had live candidate forums. The election coverage was really great by the news department, and those candidate forums are a wonderful opportunity for the community to be able to reach out to the members of our, you know, potential elected officials. So there's interaction there over the internet, over the phone. Then they also have the write-ups and all of that for each, the profiles.
The profile.
And the statements.
And then let the candidates write their own statements.
Right.
The election coverage, the municipal election coverage is deep and fully is how I figure out what votes I'm going to make.
Absolutely. There's no excuse for not being informed in terms of information accessibility. So, I think that's about that's where
about where we stand. There's one last note I wanted to make, and I don't think that you touched on it. There's an interesting program that is developing, and it's been sporadic. And then I think it became a monthly program, and I think that it's headed towards being a weekly program.
Yes. You are talking about Reveal, which is a national program. It's brought about by the Center for Investigative Reporting, and they have put out a monthly program that we've aired on the last Sunday of the month for the last few months, which has been great, and I've been eagerly awaiting the weekly program that's going to start in January. So we're going to start airing that as soon as they get it up and running, which will start right after the beginning of the year.
All right. Well, Rebecca Dannon, thank you so much, Program Director of Raven Radio. Thanks so much for coming in and talking about some of the programming effort that has been made and achieved and strived for over the last year or so. Really appreciate the work that you do.
Thanks so much, Ken. And I just want to say one last thing, which is, you know, we have a very open door, open phone, open email policy around here. So if you ever have anything that you want to ask about, give feedback on, you know, downright complain about, give me a call. I am reachable and I really, you know, am always excited to hear what you have to say. So thanks for listening.
Great. Well, I'd like to hear you say those words and I'll reiterate them. That any comment that you have to make, good or bad, please do let us know. We are you. You are us. We are a community radio station. We are the voices that make up our town, our region, and beyond. So participate and join in however your voice works for Raven Radio, be it on the air, be it as a vocal member, or just saying, hey, appreciate what you do every now and again. Thank you so much. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka. This has been our on-air annual meeting, and we will strive to get a recording of this meeting onto the website here this week so that you can check out the whole thing if you only heard a part of it. So thanks again for listening. We'll take you through to headlines from NPR, and that'll be followed by Mississippi Delta Lines with your host, Fred, coming up right after that at 6 minutes after 8 o'clock. Have a great evening.